Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 99, Episode 2 of Dirt Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially, off the top, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News.
Fuck,
it's Tuesday, September 10th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Never told you about the coal gas. Did I tell you about that Dunning-Kruger? Tired of catching all this flack, but y'all love me for my second-rate podcast, and this is why I always need. This is why I always need Diet Mountain Dew. This is why I always need Diet Mountain Dew. And
like
that is courtesy of somebody's name who I don't have in front of me. But thank you for that bespoke Nickelback, a.k.a. I will shut you out at the end of the episode. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
This is my co-host, Jack. I like my Coakland cold brew black. I say yes right off the top. Safe to say I smoke a little pot. Her Majesty is my queen. Mom sewed Burberry into my jeans. Only eating Taco Bell. I hope the Zeit Gang is doing well. Oh, God.
Wow. Get me to the hospital.
Seriously.
Thank you to Elizabeth K. at Eakins33 for that one.
They're really
new. Safe to say.
Newbies coming out of the woodwork.
I want, like, people are like back listening, you know,
yeah,
what I mean,
yeah.
Weaving in anecdotes about how my mother selflessly after
yeah.
me screaming at her as a teenager sold this Burberry patch onto my jeans
and so my Diet Mountain Dew. This is why was courtesy of Guarantee Fairy at D-Sore.
Guarantee Fairy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We could use that.
Yeah. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious J. Keith Van Stratton.
Do I have to sing? I mean, do I get to sing?
Yeah. Whatever you want. Has to be Nickelback, though.
I don't know any Nickelback songs. What's a Nickelback song that I would know?
This is how you remind me.
People don't like us.
Yeah.
They think we are bad, and I'm the guest.
There you go.
There it is.
Yeah.
All right. That is kind of the only thing that's known about Nickelback.
People don't like them.
Until today.
I got a packet of about 50 pages of prep material that was not on there.
Yeah.
Until today, because we're going deep on the history of Nickelback today, guys. Yep. Jake Heath, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to talk about what's going on in the Varsity Blues scandal with Felicity Huffman, her sentencing. The wild couple of days that the president has been having on Twitter and just general speculation about what is after the presidency for the Trump dynasty. We're going to talk about the Apple Card and the new iPhone. We're going to talk about Impossible Meat and whether people care that it might have the same calories and fat and more salt than the regular burgers it's replacing. We're going to talk about the fact that the Joker won Gold Lion at Venice and that It Chapter 2 made $91 million in the U.S. alone over the weekend. And ask the question, why do we still love clowns? But first, Jake,
why do we?
We like to ask our guests, what's something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I was searching today for I have a date tonight, and dating in LA is mostly about logistics. Mm-hmm. Once you match with somebody on an app, it's mostly then about figuring out where you're going to go and trying to figure out what's fair. Because, you know, if I work in Culver City. This is going to be fascinating to people outside of LA.
But this is a learning lesson.
Okay, So I work in Culver City. I live in Beverly Fairfax, and this woman that I'm meeting tonight lives in sort of Los Feliz, Silver Lake area. My home is between my work and where she's coming from. So is halfway between my work and where she lives, which would be my neighborhood, or is halfway between my neighborhood and where she lives. So it's a lot of figuring out mm-hmm. there. Also, I know it's not going to work out. So there's that kind of optimism that you get to build into the search.
Make it a Skype call.
Yeah. So I'm also looking for, you know, the metrics are like, where can I go that looks like I'm an interesting person for having selected this, but where I don't have to pay $25 for a cocktail.
Yeah.
And let them know you were just on a podcast too. They give all the behind the scenes of
ladies
this
love that.
Too. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm like, where do I go? Does this look cool?
Right.
Where are you going? Do you know?
I proposed the Cat and Fiddle, which is on Highland Melrose, which is sort of like it's farther than halfway between my work and her home, but not quite halfway from my home and her home.
Sure.
So hopefully that'll get appreciated.
That's a nice spot.
I like the place. I liked it when they were right around here on
Sunset.
On Sunset, but now they've moved to Highland there. And I don't know if that's fair. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But that's
inside
what I was doing.
Inside LA
talk.
Being on the west side and dating someone on the east side, that's like Hatfield's McCoy
that's
shit. That is Romeo and Juliet, star-crossed lover
shit.
Yeah,
you know, you get to be my age, and so you're, as I was aging and in dating, part of my thinking was like, I'll expand my geographic search because, you know, there are fewer options as I get older. But also, as I get older, I want to travel less.
Right.
So it ends up being,
there you go.
Once you get over 40,
to wash.
You're pretty much just staying in your neighborhood.
Yeah, there are friends or like friends I haven't been very close with. I have like close friends over on the west side. I still interact with them. People who not so much when they move to the west side, that's the true test.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm like, they could be dead for all
I mean, I'd like to point out, I'm willing to go past La Cienega for love.
Wow.
But I don't think I'm willing to go to Encino.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on.
Encino's just right over there. It's closer than you think, man. Come on.
Mm-hmm. That's what they
I mean, just
believe.
As a Valley, you know, advocate for the Valley, you know, peace and blessings to all the people of Encino who listen.
Yes.
What is something you think is overrated?
Cards Against Humanity.
Okay.
I love comedy and I love games. I just hosted a game night at my home last night.
Yeah.
You guys did not attend. I realize I also did not invite you.
No, that's about to say.
Would have been amazing had we attended.
Yeah, that saw that shit cracking on the gram.
Yeah,
but,
that was something. I'd be happy to have you in the future. I usually host them every other week.
That'd be awesome.
And we would probably be happy to have you back on this podcast once that happens.
Oh, is that how it works?
Okay.
I mean, I already had him on my podcast.
Yeah,
that's why I'm back here now.
I know.
Miles, we don't want to reveal the dirty underbelly that we use our podcast to get invited to parties.
And should I point out that I would have to let you win? Right. That's part of it also.
No, no,
also
no. I hate that. So I love, know people let me win.
So I love games and I love comedy and I cannot stand Cards Against Humanity. And even more so, I cannot stand people posting photos of funny combinations that came up in Cards Against Humanity. Because it's pretty much just
what
saying.
What is this, 2012?
Well, but I love classic. I play a lot of games from the 80s and the early 2000s. I have no judgment on that. I just find it completely creative and unfunny. And then when people post something of like, look at this crazy combination of things, it's like, yeah, that would happen because those things were already pre-printed and pre-manufactured and eventually those combinations would happen.
Written by a bunch of comedians.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that you're clever for having selected them. And you know, it's based on Apples to Apples, which is a great game that you can play with kids or with the elderly.
Unlike Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah, but at least with Apples to Apples, you're learning a little something about what the certain topics are, but you also get some insight into the people that you're playing with. Like, oh, I think that person would choose that combination of things. And for Cards Against Humanity, there's none of that. It's just all random guessing.
Well, I will say I agree with
manufactured outrage.
Right.
I think there is something though, like when you're playing cards, you do have to predict. Like based on their sense of humor, it's like I could put something that's witty because based on the person who's picking, or something that's just completely absurd. I'm not saying that that's redeeming.
I don't find much wit in it. I just don't find much
game,
wit. It's more about like outrage. You know, it's being the craziest, wackiest thing.
I just think it loses its excitement after you play it the first time.
Yeah, I think.
And the only other times I've enjoyed playing it has been like I've not been sober. And then Chainsaws for Arms or whatever that card is. Love that one.
No, it's like play it once, be amazed, like, oh my gosh, this thing is so outrageous, and they put it in print. Wow, that's kind of weird to see something so outrageous in print, and then move on to something else.
Well, that's why they need all those modifier decks now, because I think people, at a certain point, it's like, right, you said the Pope likes to jerk off on an old foot or whatever the weird combo is. And you're like, wow.
On an
Can
old
we
foot.
Play?
Come on.
I mean, I'd rather play Scattergories. You
know? But the Pope is like so holy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, why would he?
Guys, let me explain why it's funny, outrageous.
I mean, Apples to Apples is a fun game, but not enough Pope.
What is a good comedy game to you,
Pope
a connoisseur
jokes.
Of
that's
games?
Good. I like regular games where it ends up being funny because people are under pressure and doing something unexpected.
Sure,
for me, Pictionary is always fun and funny.
Celebrity.
Celebrity is one of my favorite games. Balderdash, you can at least be witty and clever in how you can get people to guess fake definitions of things. I like those kinds of things. But also, I just have fun playing. There's also just not much very conversational about that game also. It's like you're waiting for someone to play something, they play the wacky thing, you make a statement about like, oh, that's so crazy, and then you move on to the next thing. It doesn't allow conversation, it doesn't allow other than being amazed at how crazy those combinations are.
I'm not very tapped into the game world unless it's on console, but like there was a version of Charades where it started off as just sort of acting something out. But as each round got harder, there was like the same 20 things people had to act out.
Yeah.
But you had less and less ability to actually emote or gesture. So like first you would actually do, you know, proper, you know, act it out.
Sure.
Then you could only just use like your face.
Mm. Oh, that's fun.
And then as it got to one of the more extreme rounds is you put a sheet over yourself and then you try and act it out with a sheet over you.
Huh.
And that was just kind of got funny because you began to just pick up on like micro movements that would suggest it was this one answer.
Yeah.
I
play that once.
It works like for brain. People who are too good at Celebrity.
Yeah. Or too comfortable in a sheet.
A lot of ghosts.
They just come out from under and they're naked.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never played a game of Celebrity that didn't include people like laughing their ass off at each other or themselves until I overturn the table. And then...
And you're like,
much less laughter. What is something you think is underrated?
I have been binge listening as a podcast all of the original episodes of Dragnet from the 1940s and 50s. And it is some of the best written drama. It's sort of the original police procedural. And people are familiar maybe with the Dan Aykroyd, Tom Hanks movie. Maybe they're familiar with the TV show. But it all started as an old-time radio show. And it is fascinating how freaking good it is. Some of the original episodes are lost, so I'm up to about episode 80 or so out of like 250. And it's just it's a really good police procedural. And the thing that's so fascinating about it is what they choose to dramatize and what they choose just to sort of narrate around. And it's really dark. Mm. Like you would think, you know, even though it's also wholesome and kind of whitewashed from that era, But there's also murders and rapes. And, you know, on one episode, they're trying to find someone's lost fur coat. And another one, there's, you know, a triple homicide in Leimert Park. And the great thing about it is it takes place in L.A. And so there's references to all these things in L.A. that, you know, the street names that are still the same and the places that aren't there anymore.
Right.
And, you know, they talk about the, you know, that the Dodgers might be coming to Los Angeles from Brooklyn.
Holy
and,
shit.
So it's just really fun, and this and it really keeps you into the story. And even though you know that they're just in a studio and someone is making sound effects and all mm-hmm. that, it really feels like they're in their car and they're going out to the valley. And it's just really 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 enjoyable and incredibly well acted. Even though some of it's a little silly, because you know basically their procedure is. You find the suspect, you ask him three times, and the fourth time you say, come on, give it up, and they give it up. Yeah. So there's a little bit of that. And also my favorite thing about it also is that they could be walking down a hallway or on a beach or on a mountaintop, and the footsteps sound exactly the same. It's like tap shoes.
We're
on
walking
a board.
On this like linoleum floor at the beach.
Yeah. But it's really, really enjoyable. And like I said, I download it as a podcast and usually listen to it at night when I'm going to bed. And it's outstanding.
I mean,
I hope I'm not repeating one that's come up a lot. I'm sure you get a lot of guests recommending old-time
recommending
radio shows.
Dragnet. Wait, so it was a radio show also?
Oh, yeah, that's how it started. Yeah, okay. It started a radio show with Jack Webb as Joe Friday. And then he also, of course, played him on TV as well.
Yeah.
And I think there was a movie also in the 60s as well.
The TV show taught me everything I needed to know about LSD. I don't know if you've seen the Dragnet LSD episode, but...
Well, there is one episode I've listened to on the radio version where there's a suspicion of marijuana being in a high school. And so they ask this girl, like, they're trying to find the source of it, and they ask this one high school girl, you know, like, did you notice anything strange about... She's like, well, there was this strange musky smell... And it's like, and then when I got into his car, there was also that strange musky smell, and he was acting a little weird. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They uncover LSD use among a group of hippies in one episode, and it ends with one of the like drug using hippies. Like they show up to his apartment, and he's like laying down, and one of his friends is like, he said he wanted to get further out, and Friday checks his pulse and goes, well, he made it. He's dead.
Oh,
from LSD use.
Mm. So, damn. Cue fucking CSI music.
Yeah.
And have fucking Caruso throw his sunglasses on.
Yeah. The other cool thing about the radio version is there's action, there's car chases, and there's shootouts. And, you know,
does it work?
It really does.
I mean, well, that's what's interesting to me about you bringing this up because, like, we live in we're sort of re-entering this sort of space again with podcasting.
Right.
And then we fail to sort of even see it's like, they were fucking perfecting that shit when they only had radio.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, some of, you know, of course they have to narrate it a little bit. It's like, look out, Joey's got a gun. He's shooting at you. Oh, he got me. You know, there's a little bit of that.
He's shooting the bullets in your general direction.
Yeah. But like, if you can pull off a car chase
on the radio, almost gotcha.
And it's still exciting. I mean, that really says something.
Look out. It's a woman with a baby carriage.
Wait,
oh, thank God.
Wait, do you have your eyes closed? He's telling you.
Sorry, I'm on LSD.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true that you know to be false?
That Cleveland is not a good place to visit.
Ooh.
I was just in Cleveland a few weekends ago, spent the weekend there. As I've mentioned on the show before, I travel a lot often to accumulate mileage. And it was a total mileage run to go to Cleveland.
Really?
And I had a great time. It's really, really cool.
So you went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I did. I went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I stayed downtown. I walked to a baseball game.
Yeah.
I walked to a baseball game. That for those maybe from in a lot of cities, that's normal. But in L.A., that's unheard of. And it's great. You know, there are a lot of neighborhoods that are being re-energized. And unfortunately, a lot of those are just like mini Portlands, which I think is a lot of the same across the country. But it's still got a lot of great personality and very walkable and gorgeous. Like you're looking over these bridges at sunset over the river and off onto the lake. And I got some incredible pictures that you would never believe that was Cleveland. And great people and super friendly.
I've always said I've never met a bad person from Cleveland.
Well, there you go. So, it's it's something that even people who I met there were like, really? You came here on purpose for a vacation?
Are you a Drew Carey fan?
Yeah, exactly.
No.
I had no other reason to go other than, oh, it sounds cool. I hadn't been. And I guess, like I said, it was a cheap fare and needed the miles. And yeah, really, really great, great time. You
know, as the president of the United States of America said, Cleveland rocks.
Yeah, they did say that.
And there are some people who call it the Clee, and then other people who call it the land.
The land.
Some people call it the Clee, huh?
The Clee or the Cleave.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
The land sounds a little bit better.
Yeah.
But it's the kind of place where, like, I go to a bar and people will actually talk to you. And I met people at the baseball game. Like, I went there alone and ended up
with friends.
With friends.
Oh, yes. Man. Love to hear that.
And the food is great.
I should acknowledge that the only people I've ever met from Cleveland are the characters on the Drew Carey show.
I was going to say, yeah.
I mean, I do love those characters.
Well, all the women wear heavy clown makeup. You're like, and,
oh, my friend Mimi. She is a hoot.
She's outrageous.
Gregarious.
No, shout out to Sean. Who is a listener of the show and one of the smartest dudes I know. And he moved back to Cleveland after college and had his bachelor party in Cleveland. And we had a great time.
Ooh.
Walked to a baseball game.
It's great. It's great to leave a place and feel, I didn't get to do everything I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to go to, I want to go for the food, actually,
because
I've seen so many food specials, like at the West Side Market or something, and all the food that's there, and I'm like, just give me
the market, there. Some of the best ice cream I've had there is at Mitchell's. I went to Michael Simon, who I think is an Iron Chef, has a barbecue place there that was outrageously good.
All right, so look, Ohio, dude, we're doing the Lord's work for you. Just fly us out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Was this an option?
Cleveland.
I think so.
In particular.
Yeah, but Cleveland.
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. I'll check out, sure, you know, I love Skyline.
But you need someone to show you around. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We'll need Jake Keith there as well. Yes. And any Zeit gang that's there to house us.
All right, guys. Let's get into the latest on the Varsity Blues scandal. I think this is the part that we were all waiting for, which is the sentencing.
The justice bumper.
Dun, dun, dun.
Clang, clang.
That's the Law and Order sound, but done terribly.
I think we're nailing it. We should be filed under music podcast at this point.
We might get sued for copyright infringement just from my vocal stylings.
But Felicity Huffman, her lawyers are asking that she just serve probation and community service and a $20,000 fine.
Yeah. But the prosecution is like, we're thinking, you know, brace yourself a month in jail.
Right.
And, you know, I think there are people who want more, want less. Clearly, her lawyers think 250 hours of community service and $20,000 is good enough. But I don't.
I don't either.
I don't necessarily desire for her to be in jail for an extended period of time necessarily.
30 days but some seems kind of right. Am I wrong?
Like, sure.
It seemed about right to me.
I think there's ways, though, to tell these people that you fucked up majorly.
Sure.
That doesn't just – because I think when she was on Desperate Housewives, she was making somewhere near like $400,000 an episode. What's $20,000? That's not an effective deterrent. Yeah.
Well, that's not even close to what she actually paid the guy to help the kid get in, right?
I think it's $15,000.
Yeah.
Yeah,
or 15,
like that.
Okay.
She paid $15,000 and thought that was going to get her kid into college?
No. It was $15,000 just to arrange that fake test score. Because her kid had like
more
the janky proctor.
I thought
other people
did.
Other
people
on different, like, you know, Lori Loughlin, I think, was on the hook for $500,000.
Right.
So that's why she is a little bit of a different case. But anyway, and Lori Loughlin, not guilty, as she says. Good luck with that trial. But like, you know, with this, I think, yeah, the fines could be greater or do something that, you know, if you're going to put that money in to take the opportunity from someone else, I think you have to make amends in a much greater
start
way.
Start a scholarship with like $1 million
for underprivileged kids, at the very least.
The sort of people whose spot you were taking.
But I do think she should have a little jail time. I don't think it needs to be huge.
One month is fine.
Yeah, or even a couple. Like if she agrees to do the community service and establish a scholarship or something, I think some jail time is appropriate.
Because I think at the end of the day, you want these people to be like, oh, maybe we should just, you know, gallivant to Saint-Tropez on a yacht for vacation. Be like, oh, that's right. We took a $3 million hit last year.
Right.
Maybe we need to rethink that because we fucked up because we were trying to game the college admission system in a different way.
But no, she doesn't do any jail time and just does the probation, all that. Is she still a felon? Are you still a convicted felon if you're admitting to a plea deal?
I don't know if she...
Because I want her to be a felon.
Yeah,
why not? Yeah. I mean, you know, she could be up there. But I think it's seemingly a light touch. But again, just hear her out, because there are people who her lawyers are like, look, you know, she was in a real tough spot when this guy came up to her and told her that her daughter based on her own academic merit and ability, was unfit to get into the school she wanted to apply to or enter. She had no choice.
Yeah.
It's like, what? And then her whole quote was from Huffman, I think during a deposition or one of these procedures, said, quote, "I felt an urgency which built to a sense of panic that there was this huge obstacle in the way that needed to be fixed for my daughter's sake. As warped as it sounds now, I honestly began to feel that maybe I would be a bad mother if I didn't do what Mr. Singer was suggesting," right, which was to cheat on her
that
tests.
Is good parenting, to teach your kids that anything can be bought, no, and like, that you just...
And it's, I understand where she's coming from, but she still made the wrong choice.
Right.
Like,
yeah, right, right,
like,
right.
There's no getting... Like, I have empathy for her for wanting... You know,
the best to, for your child.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, you want the best for your child, but you also can't, like, teach them that... They can just buy their way.
I felt guilty that my dad was able to afford like an SAT tutor for me. Like I felt that was, you know, that was exposing the privilege that I had, and I felt that was, you know, at the expense of people who, you know, somebody who couldn't.
Right.
And are primed to enter that environment of taking a test like
Turned
that.
Out my dad was just being a cheapskate.
Yeah, right. It's like,
right. Yeah.
You could have paid for someone else to take the test for me.
He explored his options.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, 15K. Shit. All right, guys, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back, and just a general check-in with the state of mind of the president of these United States. You know, after having a bad week last week, over the weekend, the president went on Twitter to let his base know who the real villains are, and see if you can tell me if these people have anything in common.
Mm-hmm.
John Legend,
mm-hmm.
Lester Holt,
mm-hmm.
Van Jones,
mm-hmm.
and John Legend's filthy-mouthed wife, who he didn't mention by name.
They are...
Ooh, I know.
Not white.
Yep.
Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. He got mad at a MSNBC story that didn't give him enough credit for being...
For freeing ASAP Rocky?
Yeah, basically. For prison reform.
And not just a story, like an hour-long special on a Sunday night.
Right.
Lester Holt like went to prison, right? Was the whole thing?
Yeah, I think John Legend's...
The Legend thing was the...
Tweet was pretty good. He said, imagine being the president of a whole country and spending your Sunday night hate watching MSNBC, mm-hmm. hoping somebody, anybody will praise you.
Mm.
And Melania, please praise this man. He needs you.
I just like how Chrissy Teigen, as her name is actually said, and we were shook to our core. No, apparently she just got tired of correcting people.
Really?
She's like, it's Teigen, but like, honestly, I don't care anymore.
Right. And
he was like, whoa. Come on, stand up for your name. Was when she called him a pussy ass bitch.
That was pretty good.
Well,
that
that was her response, correct?
Yeah, I guess to all this. I mean, I knew something happened, but when I just saw the headline, Chrissy Teigen to President Trump, pussy ass bitch, I was like, nah, that's all I need to know.
Yeah. That was her response to him calling her foul mouthed and also
not even mentioning
to the fact
her name.
That he wouldn't mention her name or at her because presumably he saw that follower account.
Right.
Saw the amount of love that's out there.
Oh, boy.
Thought he would get away with beating up on Van Jones.
I wish he tried to actually show up for a smoke show with Chrissy Teigen, because I feel like he would have his whole skull ripped off on Twitter, and it would be a L he could never come back from.
Yeah, it's...
But that's why he didn't at her. And
right.
She was even saying in true Twitter, you know, beef style, like, you couldn't even at me, son.
Meanwhile, his Alabama hurricane fuck-up has continued to kind of linger. The National Weather Service chief came out on Monday in full support of the local meteorologists who contradicted the president's, you know, dangerous panic-inducing tweet. And the president has continued to suggest he was right. And apparently the National Weather Service had been applying, like, pressure downward for people not to come out and like say anything about the controversy or, you know, contradict the president in any way. A source who spoke to Gizmodo said, this is the first time I've felt pressure from above to not say what truly is the forecast. It's hard for me to wrap my head around. One of the things we train on is to dispel inaccurate rumors, and ultimately that is what was occurring. Ultimately, what the Alabama office did is provide a forecast with their tweet. That is what they get paid to do. And weather has officially entered the Trump zone. Where
But the chief scientist of the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration came out and was like, I'm going to actually investigate what the fuck happened here, because this just smacks of a political thing. Because they had to come out and be like, actually, he was right.
Right.
But the chief scientist is like, that's fucking a terrible thing to come out and have to say something like that, because the service we provide is giving people accurate information in potentially dangerous situations for people when it comes to inclement weather. So it's like, to then come out and do all this other stuff in service of this, you know, obsessed president, he was like, it's just a danger to public safety.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah.
I mean, that's what I wanted to say also. It's like, I know it's easy to make fun of because it's so
the Sharpie
bizarre. Thing. Yeah, the Sharpie and all that. But like, this is a really big step towards A, being anti-science and anti-fact and all that. But yeah, just as far as public safety, I mean, if there's, you know, there were people in Alabama probably who needed to know, should I evacuate or not? Should I get my grandmother out of the nursing home or not? And he, you know, and because of his own ego, we can't get a straight answer on all that. I mean, next time, you know, let's say there's next time an emergency that isn't predictable and we're going to need reliable facts and he's going to say whatever's the most convenient for him or to save face.
Yeah.
It's a real dangerous step, even though it also is freaking ridiculous.
Right. Even though, like, on paper, you'd be like, I'm probably going to go with whatever the scientists are saying versus Trump. The fact that you have two competing narratives to somebody who's not as savvy could potentially be confused and be like, Well, which one do I believe now?
Yeah, and the presidents came first. I mean, he mm-hmm. was like, Alabama wasn't in any danger. The storm was going to, they knew the storm was going to be too far east to affect Alabama. And he said, Alabama's going to get hit worse than expected. And
think of what that means for people there. Yeah. I mean, that maybe they leave their job and don't get paid for that day because they've got to go prepare their home, or they've got to, you know, they've got to go buy gas. They've got to go buy supplies. This really affects people. As you know, and again, thank goodness it wasn't the opposite. He said, he didn't say something right. wasn't going to happen, and then got hit. But you could totally see that happening the exact same way,
right?
You know, and imagine if it was the opposite, where he said, you know, he kept insisting Florida's not going to get hit, or Bahamas isn't going to get hit, and then they do,
right? The tweet that is causing all the controversy, not from him, but the one contradicting him, was just like, guys, don't worry, Alabama is safe. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not going to get it. It's just like such a straightforward thing. It's like, this controversial? Ooh, yeah, right. How is this still a thing?
I didn't say Alabama.
How did he not just say, sorry about Alabama?
I said,
oops,
Alhambra.
My bad, it's not Alabama.
I saw one theory that that said he got confused because he read some piece of paper that said all Bahamas.
Right.
Oh, shit.
And then that somehow in his head, that's how we got the idea that Alabama.
But even then, he wouldn't even be able to admit that now.
Right.
He's like, no.
Of course not.
And it's like, right. Oh, no, you fucking poor moron.
I mean, there.
No, not poor him. Fuck.
There is that Samantha Bee piece that is supposed to be a joke about how he can't read. Mm-hmm. That is wildly convincing when you look at like all the different people who have like worked with him and like different depositions where he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not gonna read that sentence. And Pete Davidson saying on SNL he couldn't read the cue cards. So, Miles, we have a little bit more insight into when the president early, what seems like decades ago, early in his presidency, kind of yucked it up with Russian officials. After the next day after firing James
pretty
Comey.
Much the next day.
Yeah,
there was that photo of Sergey Lavrov and Sergey Kislyak, so the foreign minister and former ambassador respectively, were like in the Oval Office fucking yucking it up, and people were like, what the fuck is going on?
Right.
And the story that came out at that time is that Trump may have revealed some kind of intelligence gathering source because he was sharing information that we had collected on like ISIS in Syria that had come from like an Israeli intelligence source or something like that. And at the time, it was sort of the beginning of like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Like,
right.
Did he literally just have Russians in the Oval Office share some kind of like secret intelligence and then just kept it moving? And, you know, at the time, it was just like one of the, you know, many hundred stories that comes out a week about the president. But recently, it just came out that they, as a result of that exchange, like a lot of the intelligence officials in the U.S. got concerned about a very deep intelligence asset they had in the Russian government and had to extract them like very Jesus. Quickly because they're like, oh, fuck. Like, even though this specific information that was, you know, revealed at this meeting didn't have anything to do with them, they were like, we don't even want them to connect dots tangentially. They're like, get right. them the yeah. fuck out, which is extreme because that's like an extreme remedy than maybe just summoning them somewhere else. It's like, no, we're going to have to pull this person out to make sure nothing terrible happens to them. And that was sort of the byproduct of his show and tell party in the Oval Office.
Right.
And it's just sort of like mounting evidence or just sort of adding to the narrative that, you know, the intelligence community has a just deep distrust for him. Not even that, like when he's sharing like, you know, missile launch photos, like they're just like, you know, cool DMs to share with
it's
everybody.
It's kind of weird because in a way we kind of need this sort of deep state right. to happen. But I think it's happening in, you know, because of him rather than, you know, as a, I don't know what I'm trying to say. No, I'm trying to say that, you know, the conspiracy about the deep state was that, you know, he was part of it. And that it was, but really it's becoming an offshoot. It's becoming necessary to create one because he's so out of control.
Yeah, and he's irresponsible with any information he
That's
has.
That's what I was trying
right.
to say.
And then, yeah, his temperament then too on top of it. It's like you don't know how close we are to some disastrous dismiss.
It's so
decision.
Weird though that now, you know, people on the left are like, oh, thank God there's rogue intelligence
CIA
agents,
and FBI agents.
To protect us from the president.
I mean, the fact that James Comey was lionized by the left for a little while is pretty wild. based on everything else, literally everything else that he's ever done,
right,
other than be fired by Trump and have a feud with him.
But that was the logic Jared Kushner thought was going to be good. He's like, yeah, fire him, and then the Democrats will like you. It's like, dude, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk about the shit show at the Fuck Factory, Miles.
Hey, shout out to Succession.
Shout out to Succession.
Just started watching that show.
The Atlantic has a new report on a sort of mini Cold War that's brewing between Ivanka and her brother, Donald Jr.
Yeah. It's a fucking wild read. It has so much interesting background. It's just, it's, you know, over the course of many interviews with aides and friends and people around it, they were sort of kind of understanding this. Their relationship between Don Jr. and his sister was evolving and they becoming more and more adversarial as time goes on. And because now, since he's become president, Trump is now president, the two kids are like really desperate to impress their father in any way possible. But it seems like there's sort of two games happening. There's one with Ivanka and Jared. They're doing it. They're playing a more like inside game where they want to just get as much influence in the city and in the administration as possible. And from there, cement a place for their future if they choose to move on to a political hustle, if you will. Mm. And then Don Jr. just wants daddy's affection.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's happening in two different ways. But they're at the end of the day, they both want their father's approval. So the backdrop that it's all set up against is really interesting. Apparently, this is through these interviews and books and other things, they said that essentially Donald Sr. cultivated a Darwinian dynamic in the family. On ski trips when they raced down the mountain, Trump would jab at his children with a pole to get ahead of them. His favorite fatherly maxim was, "Don't trust anyone." And he liked to test his children by asking whether they trusted him. If they said yes, they were reprimanded.
Yep.
The weirdest part is that none of that seems out of character.
No. And it's starting to make sense, right? Because you're like, oh, of course.
Right.
Like, if that's what's being put through your head, you'll never trust anyone or feel for anyone because mm-hmm. everyone is out to get you, right? If everyone's out to get you, you can never feel bad for anyone. And then from there, like, it got worse apparently when Ivana Trump and Donald split and he left Ivana for Marla Maples. They both hated their father for basically what he had done to their mother and how he treated her and how he handled the whole thing. But the two kids...
He cheated on her in public and then leaked stories about how he cheated on her to the Page Six of the New York
exactly.
Post.
Yes, exactly. In addition to abusing her. You know, and I think all of that... But then the kids handled that their separate way. Don, who was 12 at the time, was angry. He said, this is again through these interviews, quote, "How can you say you love us?" He reportedly spat during an argument and refused to talk to him for a year. 8-year-old Ivanka was afraid of what she might lose in the divorce, blah, blah, blah. But in the years that followed, Don seemed to define himself in opposition to his father. Trump loved golf, so Don stayed off the links. Trump was a teetotaler, so Don drank heavily. People from his frat in college said he was drinking heavily. He was drinking himself into a really dark place, said one former frat brother, who recalled Don breaking down in tears at a party as he talked about his father. Jesus. He hated what his dad did to his mom. For a while, he didn't even want people to know his last name. And then Ivanka on the other side got closer during that period mm. and visited him every day after school. She just went to the office and began to pride herself by saying, like, he'll always take my call. He'll interrupt a meeting to take my call. And so that was sort of the backdrop, too, of them, like, starting to compete with each other. And it just gets fucking wackier and darker as things go on, because there was around last year November, there's a McClatchy report about how someone was describing how, like, Don Jr. wows as Ivanka disappoints was the headline. Mm. And they began to be like, oh, see, they're leaking shit about us and blah, blah, blah. And they had a confrontation where he's like, tell your people to stop trashing me to the media.
Oh, Ivanka said that to Don Jr. Oh, shit.
And then this whole time they just talk about Eric, who's just like, and Eric likes to stay out of it.
Eric likes to play with socks.
Right? Yeah, essentially. He's just like at Mar-a-Lago running the organization and just not really knowing what to do.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't, based on, you know, whenever you read kind of insider, like deeply reported insider reports of what it's like in the White House, you are always hearing about how, like, surprisingly influential Jared and Ivanka are. based like surprising because they don't have roles, but they, right. they're just still wielding the most. Yeah, I mean, like
well, she's technically an official advisor,
at right? least. But that gives them the freedom to just kind of roam and like go into different places and just you know have their impact felt. It's like having
they're like the Roombas of the White House,
right? Yeah, they're like an extra having an extra person on like a basketball court, and you're just getting to like run around and like block anyone because you don't have a man to guard, like you don't have an official position, so you just get to do what you want. And yeah, you don't hear much about Don Jr. other than stories about the president being like, my son's a fucking idiot.
There was another thing in there in the Atlantic article where they're talking about how when he was born or when Ivana was pregnant with Don Jr., she's like, why don't we name him Donald? And he's like, what if he's a loser?
Mm. Right.
Was his first response to that.
Yeah.
So and that's just, you can tell in their relationship and also Don Jr.'s desperation to impress him. That's why apparently during the campaign, Ivanka stayed behind the scenes because her dad was even like, she's got an image.
Yeah.
She's been tending to that. You
Ivanka's image is more important than this run for the White House and the future of the United States. I mean, that's so over the weekend, Trump's 2020 campaign manager predicted a multi-decade Trump dynasty, saying that like he and his family are all amazing people and so, I mean, basically, that is how they're thinking about it.
How do they define the dynasty exactly? That just because he was president once, now that name is going to have so much like cachet.
I think everyone
but Tiffany. Right. That's how they define the dynasty.
Well, she's trying to be a lawyer, so. They do say that Tiffany and Barron are lucky because they had a much different upbringing than the Eric, Don Ju, and Ivanka.
Right.
Like, where he wasn't like making it, like creating this toxic family environment. It's like, why did you stab your brother? See if he's tough enough. Right. Like kind of thing where it's, I think maybe it was just normal neglect.
Right. It's more like having a grandparent, like being a grandparent at this stage for him. He doesn't need to be like overly involved in their lives.
I hope Barron can end up a decent human, but
yeah.
Good luck to you, sir.
All right. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zai Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back, and Apple having a big week. The Apple Card is newly out. The new iPhone is going to be revealed this week. And the coolest thing I've seen out of those two news items is that you can sharpen your Apple Card to turn it into a knife, which is pretty...
Wait, what?
Yeah, you can, because it's like titanium or whatever, some sort of metal that like works, you can just sharpen it like pretty easily.
Was a guy just filing it down, like on a proper grinding wheel or just like no, old school just on the used, sidewalk?
He used sandpaper and like wet the sandpaper and then just like... kind of sharpened it.
To be fair, you can make a knife out of anything. I've gone into these YouTube black holes where there's this guy in Japan who will make a knife out of like packing tape or out of like cardboard and all that. So I'm not terribly surprised.
Yeah. Well, prisoners have done amazing things. If you ever want to look up like things people have been killed with in prison and like they...
Please stop sending your credit cards to prisoners.
Yes. It's pretty cool.
That's like the...
Well, because it looks dangerous. Mm-hmm. Like it's... kind of cool.
Well, it sounds already like a thin blade,
right?
And now you can be like Steven Seagal in The Glimmer Man,
right?
I don't know if you remember that scene. He cuts a dude's throat with a credit card.
Does he?
Yeah, like these dudes trying to rob him, and he's like, "Oh yeah, here's my credit card," and straight up slits this dude's throat. I don't know why the first thing I thought of was like that Steven Seagal scene in The Glimmer Man.
Well, because it's a ridiculous thing. I'm more
in my head. I'm like, why do I remember shit from The Glimmer Man?
I'm into the credit card and points and miles game, so I have a lot of different credit cards. Right. And so the heavy metal credit card has been a thing for, I don't know, the last 5 years or so.
Yeah.
I do not understand what the benefit or advantage of it is. It's so you can feel like you're doing something important. Yeah.
Right.
The whole reason to have it is so that the waiter or the shopkeeper says, oh, heavy.
Oh,
right. Yeah.
And whoa, heavy and ball sack there, sir.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right.
Oh, no small penis person could have a card this heavy.
Now, please ring up my Viagra.
I wonder if there's something like unconscious about the fact that money is all basically imaginary numbers in a system now. So we like want them to have some
tangible.
Heft.
Yeah, right. But you have that with
something
the plastic.
Tangible.
Because you get these metal cards, you can't shred them. So if it gets, if you need to, you know, if you close your account or if it gets stolen or, if, you know, if you have to change cards or whatnot, you have to send it back in.
No, you just turn it into a knife.
Or you turn it into a knife. You know what?
I've never had to buy another knife.
I've not been repurposing them.
You said you're heavy into the credit card mileage points game?
Yes.
I mean, I know you clearly care about miles, but
yes.
Do you have a system that you use for your purchases to optimize your
I
card,
do?
Your point
yes.
output?
Yes, so I probably have about 20 different credit cards or something at this
point. Are you for real?
Yeah. Yes. You know,
wow.
Cause you, well, especially when I was very heavy into the game. I mean, that's nothing for people who
heavy into the game. You
into
know,
the game.
I'm not
into
the
hobby.
I'm not the my points guy or whatever that one account is.
I'm not the points. I have written for the points guy, but I'm not the points guy.
Oh, got it.
But no, there are people who have a whole system with a spreadsheet where they know that okay, if you apply for this card, then you maximize it out to this, and then 18 months later you can get this one. There are people who really do that. I've gotten a little more sane for myself, so I've got my basics that you know. I know I've got to spend this much on this card in order to get my status on this airline, and then the rest of it I'm going to maximize this because this is you know I get this many points for restaurants, so I'm always going to put my restaurant purchases on this one,
right,
and stuff like that. So yes, now I've got a little system, and the Apple Card has no place in it.
Right.
No points. So what's the point?
I think you do get some percentage cash back on there, but it's not a great value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's for the,
there's
you know,
a friend of mine got one
when I think, you know, was one of the first to get him. And I asked him why. And he's like, cause it's cool. Look, it's white. It's white.
Dude,
and I can attach it to this. Yeah. Yeah.
That's an empty can.
Which is why it's such brilliant marketing, because they're getting people right. who weren't looking necessarily to get a new credit card to get that.
A couple of weeks ago when they first started rolling them out, we wrote up about this, like the Apple support page just for the credit card yeah. because it stains very easily. They're like, don't put it in contact with leather or denim. It's like, what the fuck?
In other words, your pocket?
Just yeah. hold it out in front of me?
Yeah, no, he was surprised that he used it on the first time and it scratched.
Right, right. Time. Yeah. Exactly. And a lot of people were like, what the fuck?
Right.
Because, again, when it's Apple, you want the shiny new thing.
Right.
But
right.
guess
Steve
what?
Steve Jobs like that, was alive. He wouldn't let it scratch.
Right.
I've never seen. Distressed Apple wear.
I've never seen one fucking credit card that doesn't look like shit or like begins to wear down within three times of it being swiped.
Right.
So, like, I'm surprised they didn't invest more in like being like, and it's going to look fucking sick the whole time.
Right. There's no, are there no numbers on the Apple card?
It's not,
it's on the rotating back. Or whatever.
Oh,
isn't
okay.
it randomized?
That I'm not sure of.
Because, yeah, it almost seems like the way Steve Jobs was like, no buttons.
Right.
Like, right, right, right.
They're like, no anything that credit cards are used for.
Yeah, it randomizes the like actual card number.
Oh, wow.
So I think that's when you connect, yeah, when you use it with the app, I think. When you use it like with the
yeah,
app.
Yeah, so like that way they just want to make it as difficult as yeah. possible for somebody to take your fucking card and spend $100 at a gas station in Northridge.
Right. As far as the new iPhone, they're working on a folding iPhone, an iPhone with a laser-guided 3D time-of-flight camera. I don't even know what the fuck that means. One with in-display fingerprint sensor, and those are all slated for 2020 or beyond. This one is just going to have a bigger camera. That's basically it.
Damn, that combination of words was impressive.
Yeah.
Lasers.
Time of flight, laser guided, and in-display fingerprint sensor.
What is laser guided time of flight?
I have no idea. I've been turning that over in my mind for a while.
I think it's to help the focus of the camera. I think that it maybe uses
something
laser
in motion or whatever.
Yeah, time of flight. Okay, yeah. That makes more sense.
It's like I thought it was to remember your.
I think it's to capture things in motion. So like if you want to get a still photo of something in motion, using a laser, it'll figure out where the thing is so it won't be blurry. I'm guessing it's that.
Yeah.
Or it's another way of paying for tacos.
I don't know. Exactly.
I mean, the camera seems to be the main thing that they can keep making better.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else seems like it's about the same.
Right. I have an iPhone 10. I don't really see anything that means like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Because before that, I had an Apple iPhone like 4 that was just rotting.
Right.
It started to smell. Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. The phone started to smell. I don't know why. I don't know if you have noticed this. I have a laptop, an old Mac laptop that also has started to smell.
Oh, yeah.
If you have any answers on that, please let me know. But yeah, I think even now, I'm like, I don't know how much you can really iterate on this where we're like, oh, now we're in 2020.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think the thing that would be great is if they could like double the battery life or something, but that nobody has created a better battery since the first iPhone. Like, it's all basically the same, and the battery makes up most of the body of your camera. Like, that's why the pluses have longer battery life, because they just have bigger batteries.
I mean, yeah, portrait mode is really the end of the road for me.
Yeah.
Like, after seeing one person use portrait mode, I was like, oh, this will be cool.
Yeah.
Four times.
Yeah. Portrait mode is great. That's one of the great innovations.
It helps. I noticed for people with kids, they actually have good photos of their kids now.
Yeah.
Before on these other shits, it was like cool.
There is not a good picture of me before the age of like 20. I don't think.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So, like, yeah, there's like...
It's not a good photo.
like, my son has, like, so many good pictures of him.
I know, I have to look
constantly.
It's a double-edged sword, though, you know? Like, everything's... Yeah. All that history is available now for these kids and exists forever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, shit, again...
Yeah, most of my pictures of me as a kid are just me squinting.
Yeah,
just
yeah, like exactly.
Too bright.
Squinting, like...
Being uncomfortable. I've got weird poly knits on.
Yeah,
or it's like me with like my pupils heavily dilated at a high school football game or something, right. Wearing a candy necklace.
You can't blame the camera for that.
Hey, man, look, man, when you're partying, you party. Actually, I was in band at a high school football game. I was always in the stands.
Nice.
But I would drink in the stands.
You would drink while banding?
Yeah, I remember when our football team got really good my senior year, I got real reckless, and on trips, I had a fake ID that I made on myself on Photoshop. I was from New Jersey.
Yeah.
And I would buy Bacardi, and I would take a 2-liter bottle of Coke and do 50-50 rum and Cokes, basically. So I would have this 2-liter just lit tank that I would pass around the back of the bus.
Nice.
And I almost got in deep shit when a security guard tried to stop me from running on the field drunk. And they're like, are you drinking? I'm like, no, man, I got to go. And I fucking like ran back in the crowd.
Wow.
Anyway, story time with Miles.
Let's talk about Impossible Meat. There's like sort of an online backlash brewing sort of thing. Like people are talking about how Impossible Meat and Beyond Meat has the same calories and fat and more salt than real meat, and basically treating it like a health food that people are being fooled by.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't necessarily see it as like eating that stuff because it's healthier. I do it because right. It's not as, you know, there's not much of an impact on the environment.
Right.
And I can still pretend I'm eating fucking beef.
Yeah. And I also just feel better afterwards generally than I do if I like.
Well, that's the difference. Also, there's fiber in these vegan patties that isn't in real beef.
And it's just not as hard to digest as meat.
No. So, no.
Like that's, I don't know. I also am skeptical of stories. Any story that is, this seems to be making the rounds of like NBC News and Fox News and CNBC, where it seems like it's like a mainstream media story. And I feel like those sorts of outlets have long-standing relationships with big advertisers. And, you know, these products are obviously threatening a established order of things.
Mm. So right. This is kind of what always happens anytime there's a new dietary wonder. You know, it's like when you know, NutraSweet first came out, people, you know, thought, oh, it has no, you know, it has no health, what type of sort of a benefit.
Right.
Risks at all.
Right.
And then, you know, oh, therefore you can eat 1,000 candies with this and you know, still not realizing that there's the, you know, there's the calories and the fat and everything.
A lot of those are like the NutraSweet thing was like the cancer risk was actually greatly exaggerated. They were feeding like what would be to us bucket loads of NutraSweet to the rats to give them the cancer.
Is NutraSweet saccharin?
No, it's aspartame.
It's yeah.
Aspartame.
Aspartame. Yeah.
Yes, aspartame.
But you know, or even like when baked Lays came out, everyone thought, "Oh, this is the solution to all of our problems."
No, remember with
the Olestra ones too? Yeah,
where everyone had projectile shit themselves.
Yeah,
like oh, it's new with Olean.
Yeah,
yeah. People always overdo it or don't realize that there's still other elements in it that you know, depending on what your diet is, work and don't work. But I haven't tried one yet. I'm curious to try it.
Well, because I think also too, the attack is like, well, it's all this processed food, man. Like now, this is a processed meat. It's like, well, most food is processed on some level.
Right.
It's the additive and bullshit ingredients that like we're sort of conflating with the quote unquote processed foods that are the bad ones, you know, versus, you know, anything that has to go through a process to be made.
Right.
But
the I mean, it's like the dairy farmers being like, can't milk an almond. It's
like, well, watch me.
Yeah.
Because we just did, motherfucker. Find a new angle.
They're paying the best advertising minds in New York millions and millions of dollars every year to come up with like the best way to shit on these products. And that's where you end up getting like, well, this cancer study, like people don't trust chemically altered like imitation foods. So let's focus on this one cancer study that says if you feed a rat its weight in NutraSweet on a daily basis, it gets cancer.
Like what's the Beef Council? How are they even advertising right now? Because I remember it used to be like beef is what's for dinner. But like it's been quiet for them like in this new era. So I guess is their strategy just to like sort of behind the scenes just take a shit on these meat?
I don't know.
And interlopers?
I have no evidence to say that these NBC stories are like being planted or anything.
No. But I'm saying but like any industry, you would have some kind of marketing plan to shield yourself from this other product that's coming out, whether you do that very underhandedly or just try and do new advertiser or advertising that's like beef. It's how your kid will get smarter or some shit.
Yeah.
But I think like anything, you got to investigate what's in it and how that affects, you know, the way that you eat and what your health is. The same isn't the same for everybody.
Yeah. I would also like to see like a product by product side by side of like what the health changes are, just because I could also see this being a thing where like a couple of the products are the same, but most of them are actually better for you. But we shall see.
Well, yeah. I mean, we all know Taco Bell's healthy for you.
Yes. Taco Bell's great for you.
Find a new angle.
And their ground beef is A-quality meat.
Is
is a quality meat, not a quality.
It's some kind of organic flesh. Yes.
Compound.
They've been making fake meat for years, fooling us. That's like a Jay Leno take.
you guys read about this?
Hey. Let's talk about clowns. Scary clowns.
Are you chlorophobic?
No, not at all. I don't really have...
Just racist.
Yeah.
I have been interested in looking at old TV from the 50s. Like, clowns were breakfast cereal mascots.
Yeah, yeah.
And
everyone
stuff.
Loved a clown
Yeah,
back
they
then.
Fucking loved them.
Clown
and it
art
seems
and all
very stuff. Strange to me because they do seem, like, scary. Like, inherently not, like, a thing that children would like.
Well, it's someone who has painted themselves to convey an emotion that they might not be experiencing underneath.
Right.
And duplicitous. They can't be trusted, and they're disgusting, and they're a danger to society.
And I mean, that kind of is the general take. Is it seems like people are like, "Fuck clowns! Clowns are scary." So it's not super surprising, but it is interesting to me that they're still so salient. That It Chapter 2 was set the record for biggest September opening and biggest horror movie opening, outpaced only by It Chapter 1. And then also the Venice Film Festival gave out its awards at the end of the festival, and the Golden Lion, which has been given to movies like Rashomon, Brokeback Mountain, and Roma, went to the Joker movie, which is pretty wild. It's pretty big departure for a comic book movie to get the award, even though this is apparently less comic book movie than like Taxi Driver influenced character study. But clowns are still a powerful symbol, apparently.
I don't know why. Is it because there's like a generation of us who absolutely did not like clowns? Like, I feel like baby boomers, like my dad, I've seen like photos of like his room as a kid, and there was like clown shit.
Yeah.
Like, I remember my grandparents' house, they would have some clown shit up, and I'm like, this is fucking weird.
Yeah, no, my grandma collected clowns.
Right, and then like, Maybe then our parents weren't so into the clowns, and then now we're like full on like, yo, clowns are fucked up and weird.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's, is it the passage of time? Is it just purely because we, or maybe we're introduced to more examples of clowns being like possibly weird with like John Wayne Gacy art or like
right.
other shit?
Yeah. It does seem like it's tapping into maybe something. Like, it's just such a break from the past, like how I inherently respond to a clown versus how, like, my grandmother collected them and thought they were, like, cute.
Like little ceramic clown things.
Maybe I'm in the minority. I find clowns neither scary nor entertaining.
Right.
I just find them kind of there. All right. It's not for me.
I'm ambivalent. I don't necessarily, like, get upset at the clown, but I'm also like, okay, fine. I've known people who are, like, chlorophobic.
Right.
And I fucked up around them. Because I didn't take it seriously.
Right.
Until you make someone cry.
Yeah.
Because you show them like a wild montage with clowns cut into it unexpectedly.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm sorry.
You got a jump scare from a clown?
I did from a coworker. And I had to apologize. I didn't realize what had happened.
Wow.
But like, in a way, to me, I didn't take it seriously. I'm like, yeah, you're doing that thing where like culturally you hate clowns.
Right.
And I was like, oh no, you have a full on phobia.
Yeah. Take people's phobias seriously.
Earlier times.
No, I've done that too. I once, I had a friend in college who had a like visceral reaction to the word cotton balls. And I was like, oh
yeah, right.
And said it like a bunch of times. And she was like really, it really fucked her up. anyways.
We're just called two horrible people.
Yes.
Who now host a podcast.
But it's still like, why is the Joker the character that has brought out like some of the best performances in film, like it's just interesting to me that like a clown bad guy would be the character that draws these, you know, iconic performances out, when that as a cultural symbol has become sort of irrelevant, or maybe it's just been co-opted.
I don't know. Symbolically, I think it really sums up like the waning influence of like white men in America.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's like culturally,
just in general too, like a clown, right? Like the most of the time, this character is an impotent man,
right,
who isn't achieving at the rate of the other men around him,
right,
and then puts on a face to obscure that inner failure,
right.
And
then, I'm incel the clown,
right, and then resorts to, again, I talk about this all the time, when you feel powerless, the next, if you cannot create, then you will destroy. And that's the next way you can feel potent, is by saying, well, if I can't build the things I want, I can destroy the things around me with great effectiveness,
yeah,
which is another thing the Joker does. So I don't know. There's like, you know, there's many layers, I think, to just sort of like what the Joker could be to somebody.
Yeah, that was great analysis.
Yeah, good time, man. I'm out, y'all.
I just think it's because they're cute.
I don't know. His laugh's weird.
He's got a red nose. Yeah. What?
But also too, but you know, shout out to clowns though too. I recently saw like a clowning show, like proper French clowning. That really is an art form. I think if people got in touch with that style of clowning, we would respect our clowns.
Baskets was a good show. Is it actually funny, the French clowning that you saw? Or is it just
because they all have different emotions. So there are ones. It was more impressive to me as performance, like what the clowns can symbolize, and you know, the facets of our humanity.
Well, shit, man. That sounds pretty weird.
anyway, it's pretty weird. You should go, man.
Jay Keith, it's been a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. You had me on your show.
That's right.
Not too long ago.
That's right. You were a guest on Go Fact Yourself. That episode is available now. If people go to,
just came out.
Yeah, it just came out on Friday, so it was a lot of fun.
Wherever you get,
you can go to gofactorpod.com or wherever you get podcasts. It was you versus Jenna Friedman, and I'm not going to say who won, but your topic was Jaws 2, so
yes.
People should know.
Then if your topic, then you must have won.
I got to meet the writer of Jaws 2, less importantly also the writer of Jaws, but mainly he is the writer of Jaws 2. That's going to be on his tombstone.
Did you know that you were going to meet the writer?
No, I had no idea. I didn't even know. So I had given Jaws 2 Wu-Tang Clan albums, like solo albums between 36 Chambers and Wu-Tang Forever. And
Rocky IV, I believe.
Rocky IV, yeah. And I didn't know which of those it was going to be.
Oh, right.
And they wouldn't tell me. I tried really hard. I showed up at J. Keith's house, you know.
Banging on the door at 3 a.m.
Right. Yeah.
Man, we were having game night, though. We couldn't let him in.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Reveal the topic, coward!
But yeah, and then I was pretty wild. And it was awesome. You get some insight into questions all of you have always had about Jaws 2. So... where else can people find you,
Jay? So GoFactorPod and GoFactorPod.com, and then on Twitter and Instagram and all that, it's at GoFactorPod, and then I'm at J_Keith. And I want to say that every time I've been here, I've mentioned a place that I'm going, and they've ended up meeting Zeitgang people there.
Yeah.
So first time I met people in Charlotte, which was awesome, and then last time I was here, I mentioned I was going to Sydney. I ended up meeting with a couple of people at a bar in Sydney, which were really cool. I wish I had – I don't have my next upcoming trip is Brazil, but not until November.
Ah,
so,
okay.
Right. So we have time for all the people in Sao Paulo.
Brazilian Zeitgang.
The Paulistas come out.
It's really fun, and it's nice. You know, I love meeting people when I travel, and I'm often traveling solo, so it's really really cool to do that. And we just did a couple live shows of Go Fact Yourself in Chicago, one of the people who showed up was wearing a Daily Zeitgeist t-shirt. Damn. So
see that
Zeitgang nice to, is out here, man.
I appreciate it very much. It's always,
as you say, when you're here, you're family.
You do say that.
Can I get some more breadsticks?
Yes. One moment. Also, Hospitaliano.
Is there a tweet you've been enjoying by any chance?
I love Daniel Dale's tweets following him fact check the president. And he had one that was just so – again, every once in a while you just realize how crazy it is. So apparently Trump tweeted this thing about Mark Sanford now is going to run in the primary him and all that. And he made a reference to – Mark Sanford, how he was found in Argentina with his flaming dancer friend, I couldn't figure out what flaming dancer was. And Daniel Dill says, by flaming dancer, the president means flamingo dancer, though it's flamenco, though there's no evidence the woman in question, a former journalist, has ever been a flamenco dancer.
Right.
So I just love how cold stone accurate and journalistic he is, and yet also pointing out all this absurdity. And he'll point out like just different things that Trump says that indicates this is about to be a lie. This is the 36th time he said this. So Daniel Dill, it's at D. Dale 8. He was at the Toronto Star. Now he's at CNN. It's just a great follow. Just like just sober and matter of fact, and also just makes you realize how crazy all this is, and but also makes you feel a little more sane for somebody fact checking it and realizing, okay, I'm not crazy for seeing that this
right.
is crazy.
Yeah. Right?
It's always nice to have that voice.
Miles, where can people find you?
Just a funny thing about Mark Sanford. I remember when he was, I think when he was having to resign from being governor of South Carolina, there was some affair thing going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where he referred to some, I think it was his basement or a friend's basement he was hiding out in as Jurassic Park.
And oh, like, really?
Yeah, and we'd call it Jurassic Park. It was just like, he said it really out of nowhere. And people were like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, you're talking about, you've been laying low from the press because you've been in fucking Jurassic Park, which is someone's basement. Anyway.
By the way, my date for tonight just canceled.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Fuck. Well, then we could go to Los Feliz. Let's meet up at Alcove.
Let's do it.
Okay.
I don't know what any of that means. Oh, Miles, man, where can people, I don't know what
Alcove's
the date
a great
is.
Date spot. Cool. Huge garden, big portions.
Bakery. Bar.
Man, a slice of cake there will set your blood sugar back a few whatever things you can set your blood sugar back. For me, yes, Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. A tweet that I'm liking is from Michael Tannenbaum at I Am Tannenbaum. This says, every Mindhunter episode, Holden, did you kill her? Killer, nope. Holden, we heard your dick game was weak sauce. Killer, I killed her and ate her arm for breakfast. Yeah.
That dragnet technique still works today.
Yeah, man.
It's a slight variation.
Couple tweets I've been enjoying. Big Idiot at www.vvvvvww tweeted, vibing so hard to Imagine Dragons Radioactive, I take a corner going too fast in my 1998 PT Cruiser and roll my car, instantly killing my wife and children. I don't know why that made me laugh out loud.
Because it's so vivid, and somehow you don't have empathy for this character. Right. You're just also, like, yeah, you would fucking roll your fucking car.
And also, like, that's probably happened. Like, we don't know what causes fatal car accidents. Like, maybe someone was vibing too hard.
He vibes too hard to radioactive. Mm.
And maybe, like, a song that was just too lit, like, came out the day before, and that's why fatal car accident spiked. We don't know.
We don't know.
And Alien Skier tweeted, sorry, I can't go to the party anymore. I was abnormally optimistic at the time. And that is how I feel most of the time. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. What's that going to be today?
The track we're going to ride out on is from J-Rob, J.R-O-B-B. It's called Dance With Me, one word. I don't know if this is on other platforms. It's on SoundCloud because this is, you know, more sort of Dilla-y, you know, sample-based hip-hop beat. Just to kind of like, it's Tuesday, you know, we're just warming up still. Mm. So just let's loosen our necks and our backs and our shoulders with some head nod music, some headphone music, and then, you know, we'll start to turn it up as the days go on.
All right. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye. Got time, but I don't
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.